Very warm welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Lovely to see you here. Welcome if you're watching online now or later on. Our thoughts, of course, are with a number of our folk who are down at the church tent at the showground this morning, ministering there. So we think of them too. Some notices to give out to begin with. First of all, the waiting room is this coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock here at All Saints. You'll be very welcome to that. Then we have a board game evening for those who get bored in the evening. Bring your favourites. That's on the 24th of June at St Andrew's. And afternoon tea on Sunday the 25th of June at Ali and Chris Mesley's house, which is very welcome to go there. There are some bands of marriage to read out. So I publish the bands of marriage between Jack William Pullin of this parish and Rihanna Elizabeth Longstaff, also of this parish. This is for the second time of asking, and if any of you know any reason in law why these persons may not marry, please would you tell me about it. We're continuing this morning in our series on Colossians, looking particularly at off with the old and on with the new from Colossians 3. So may I ask you to stand as we join together in our opening worship. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. And we rejoice together singing, Come, people of the risen King.
Thank you.
be seated. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we come to use these words from Psalm 51 as we say together, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." The sacrifice of God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart he will not despise. So may the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. These words from Ezekiel, reflecting our theme today of putting off the old and putting on the new. Let's say these words together from Ezekiel 26. "I will give you a new heart, says the Lord, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." Because of what the Lord has done for us, we are a new creation. Let's rejoice in that, in Jesus' name. Please stand. And in God's grace, we're encouraged to give thanks with a grateful heart.
Thank you.
take a moment as we stand to give thanks for what the Lord has done for us, what he is doing for us, and what he will one day do for all of us. Please sit together as we come now to our reading from Colossians chapter 3. Sarah's going to read to us.
The reading is taken from Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 to 17. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all things such as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on your new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since, as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So Diana is going to come and speak to us from that passage.
Last week, Jeff started by saying he felt rather daunted by the passage, and I would echo the same. I don't want to give you a list of these are the things we put off and these are the things we put on, so I thought we could do it by ourselves with God. So everybody, hopefully, has got the reading, a pencil, and a little piece of paper. That's the aim. Put off. If you look, there's a whole lot we're supposed to be putting off. Let me tell you about my sister. She is selling all her furniture. She's selling her tables, chairs, beds, wardrobes, saucepans, the whole lot. Why is she doing this? To know why she's doing it, you need to know her context. Her context is that this is her holiday home in Wales. The council tax has gone up threefold. She can't afford to stay there, so she's selling up and moving back to her little flat. Why are we putting off a whole lot of stuff and putting on a whole lot of stuff? Well, it's because we've been changed, delivered. You need to go back to that sermon 2 weeks ago which Paul preached, and he referred to the beginning, the context of this passage. And it says, this is Colossians 3:1, since you've been raised to life with Christ, seek the things that are above. This is the context. It isn't just have a chuck out. It's in the context of you have a whole new life. It's the context of, do you know what's happened to you? In theological terms, it says we've been delivered from the dominion of darkness, transferred to the kingdom of his beloved son. What does that mean? No darkness? No, but it means darkness is not the last word. It doesn't have dominion over you. Darkness may be there, but God is also there. You've been transferred to the kingdom of his beloved son. It means that instead of knowing about Jesus, you know Jesus. Instead of knowing about forgiveness, you know what it's like to be forgiven. Instead of knowing about the love of God, so loved the world, you know the love of God. This is the amazing transition, and it's ongoing. I met a fellow, he got married that day, and he said, I've done it. And I don't know if I was tactless enough to say it, but I certainly thought it. You haven't done it, you started. And the Christian life, yes, Jesus, come into my life. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go and have a word with the people who pray afterwards and say, I would like to know Jesus personally. So, most of us know him and have known him for a long time, but this is ongoing stuff. So as an ongoing part of life, we put off and we put on. What have we got to put off? Well, if you look at the first half, there is a dire list, and I am, you'll be pleased to hear, not going to look at those. Also, I know most of you, they don't seem to apply, but I'll tell you the bit that applies to all of us, and that's verse 5. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. You know, when Jeff led us in that confession, was there something you brought to God? What belongs to my earthly nature? Well, I'll give you two little bits: selfishness, resentment. So, if we're going to, because of Jesus' love, put off the old, we're going to have a little pause, probably 2 minutes, when you think of something you'd like to put off. Now, where's that piece of paper gone? Why? Oh, here it is, yes. Now, you can write something on there, but as God knows exactly what you're thinking, you don't have to write anything. Then when you come to communion, if you want to, you can put it on there, and then I'm hoping Jeff at the end will put it on the altar as an offering. They will then be binned. It's a symbol of saying, Lord, I'm putting something off. I'm getting rid of something. This is some of my junk that I'm leaving behind. This is an ongoing process. So, I'm going to allow 2 minutes, which is quite long, but Peter's going to play something for us. When you just say to God, Lord, I'll pray it. Lord, show me what to put off. Show me what belongs to my earthly nature that it would be a good idea to get rid of, so that I can follow you in greater freedom. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And thank you. So we're having 2 minutes. thank you. Sometimes I think God must be delighted with the stuff we give him, the rubbish. However, look at verse 12. This is the hinge. This is the bit. This is what changes everything. Who are we? God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Holy in this context means set apart. Like, for example, the communion cups are holy. They are set apart for use in that. We don't have coffee out of them, for example. That would be wrong to have coffee out of them. They are set apart for communion. We are set apart for God. Doesn't mean we're good. It means that we're set apart. Who are we? And this, I think this is what makes sense of the letting go and the receiving. Okay, we know we're a new creation. But you need to go back to it and back to it and back to it. And sometimes you need to let it counteract stuff that was you believe. I know a child, and they said to her, "You're pig-headed and bloody-minded." Okay, right. She might have been, but what does God say? God doesn't say that. God says, surprisingly, I don't see you like that at all. I see you as chosen, set apart, and dearly loved. What about the prodigal? Why did his father love him? Because that's the heart of the Father. To the Father, he was chosen, set apart, and dearly loved. We're dearly loved for no good reason, I do have to add. It's not because we're good, although we might be rightly wanting to follow God. It's because we're his children. And that is such a wonderful, safe place. You know what Philip Yancey said in his book about grace? He said, there's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. So if I break my leg and have to sit in bed forevermore, he won't love me less if I never do anything more for him. And he won't love me more if I do everything I'm supposed to do and then some. He loves me, he loves you, because you're his child. And that doesn't budge, change, or vary. It's a most wonderful truth. Really, we need this put in Technicolor somewhere big in the whole of the house, or written on our hearts in such a way that it counteracts any other verses you say to yourself. Apparently we say negative things to ourselves. That, what does God say? For my friend, I've got a friend who says, well, I'm a washout. And I said, well, God doesn't say that. So one of you's wrong. I'll tell you about a fellow called Ian McCormack. This is a true story. He runs he's now ordained and runs a church in London. When he was a young man, he lived in Mauritius, brought up by a Christian mum who gave him lots of instructions, none of which he followed at all. But she said to him, if you're stuck, say the Lord's Prayer. Yeah, mum, yeah, yeah. Anyway, he went deep sea diving. But he got stung by a lethal, poisonous box jellyfish. And he knew that this was lethal. And he tried to get to hospital, but because he was dragging his feet and his speech was now slurred, they thought he was drunk. So it was delayed and delayed. Anyway, eventually, and he started to say the Lord's Prayer, but his mind was all foggy and he couldn't remember much. Eventually, he got to hospital where he died. And when he was dead, he didn't have a vision. He saw Jesus. And he stands up and tells you this, and your eyes are on stalks. And he saw Jesus as wondrous light. And he was aware that Jesus knew all about him. And he said, from Jesus, there came something like a wave. And when it hit him, it was a wave of love. And he was absolutely saturated in the love and acceptance and wonder of God. And he said, and another wave. And then they resuscitated him, or made him, whatever you do in hospitals to make people come alive again. And his life was changed. He had moved from darkness to light. He'd put off the old. He didn't want to have anything to do with the old. He wanted the new. Why? Because he knew that the new had life in it. So, oh, I know. I thought, rather than just have straight away a pause, we've still got time to do this. This is where your pencil comes in. What this new, this ongoing, we're supposed to be being renewed in, I added it up. It's about 14 things. I vetoed the thought of a 14-point sermon. So you could get your pencils out and underline, like those word searches, different ones. And then I thought Jeff could go around with the microphone and you could pick out one that you think is, you know, particularly wonderful. If we all pick out the same one, that's fine. And then I'm going to say, choose one. Choose one. That's between you and God. That's what we'll do in silence in a bit. Then the end is, after communion, you brought stuff up. There's a little blank piece of paper, and you get this. And if you want to, you take it, and you write on it the one thing I'm going to be renewed in. Put it somewhere. Anyway, so let's have... we won't have any music at this point. We'll just have a minute with your pencil to underline different ones of these, and then that'll help us see how many there are. You okay with that? You've all got your reading. Underline. If you look at what Paul's saying, there's loads of it. So have a little look, underline it, and then in a minute, in a little bit, we'll ask you which, pick out one. Okay, that's probably long enough. So would anybody just give us one that they think is particularly they like? Come on.
Patience.
What did you say, Paul?
Patience. Patience, yeah. Anyone else?
Sub-agenda, does he need it because he's married to me? But anyway, B had her hand up. B had her hand up.
Raise her hand, where are
B's
we?
Oh, down B. There, yeah.
I went for the things I want rid of to say I'm greedy.
Okay.
I missed that, B, sorry.
What's the opposite of greedy?
Generosity.
So,
any more?
Bear with each other and forgive one another.
Ah, yes, thank you. Any more? Is someone raising a hand here?
Gentleness.
Same as your gentleness, yeah. Any more? You had patience. Yeah, oh, gosh, hands up if you had patience. A lot of us. Okay.
That's lovely. Thank you. So, and how are you going to do this? Well, I'll tell you, really, a little window has, or a big window has opened to heaven. Supposing you've put off the old, you are chosen, holy, and dearly loved. The Spirit of God is also at work in you. I think it's just grace. It's not because... not because we're good. I met this lady who was crying, and she said, I don't deserve it. I said, no, you don't. And she stopped crying. I said, no, you don't. None of us. None of us deserve this. This is the grace of God. The power of God is at work in you. The actual teaching is that the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you, and that's Romans 8:11. Supposing that's so, supposing you open a window to heaven and see the love of God and see that we're new and see that he's put his spirit in you. Right, now, in a moment, we're going to have our 2 minutes where you look at one of these and let's have a think. You look at it and you think, how am I going to do it? So it's two questions, not just, for example, I need patience. So, Lord, how? You work it out, do a bit of practical, how to put on this wonderful new bit of God. So another couple of minutes, and then I'll pray at the end. Thank you, Peter. Thank you. So, Lord, we pray. We thank you for the wonder that we are chosen, set apart, that we are dearly loved. And we thank you that you will empower us to put on the new. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And Martin apologies for calling you Peter. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Diana. Let's continue in prayer as June comes and leads our intercession.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. You have called us to yourself, and we are here before you now. And as we're here, I just want to invite you to take us in silent prayer and bring before the Lord all the things that have crept back in to our lives. We're just going to spend a little bit longer like Diane has, or we've already done with Diana, just to think about those things that have crept back in, that are getting in the way of our walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us take that moment. Lord Jesus, we offer up all those obstacles that you have taken away, that have tripped us up and stopped us from walking with you. The Lord who made us who we are loves us and longs for us to walk with him daily, to be by his side and him by our side. Draw closer to him. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray today for all our brothers and sisters who are down at the Three Countries Showgrounds serving in the church tent, and all the Christians there witnessing to your love, and for them engaging in conversation with people that come in. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be there in that place, moving amongst the people and within the conversations had. Lord, we pray for your blessing in that tent on your disciples as they minister to other people coming in. Lord, may they see you. May they have a glimpse and a sense of you in that tent today, that they will turn away from their old life and turn to you, Lord, in a new life, following in your path. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we bring before you the attacks in the school in Uganda recently. Nearly 40 pupils have been killed at the school in western Uganda by rebels linked to the Islamic State. Lord, draw near to the grieving families. Restrain those who carry out such atrocities, awful things. Lord, we lift them into your arms. We pray for justice and peace in that country. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Lord, we pray for your blessing upon our rector, Dave, as he continues his sabbatical, and for Alice, Josh and Eleanor. Lord, we pray that you'll be with them here as they're staying still here in Malvern. Lord, be with them in their day-to-day lives. Father, we do pray that you'll keep them all safe. And we pray for Dave, Lord, that you'll direct and refresh him and bring him back safely to us, with a clear vision for the future. And we pray, Lord, that you'll give Dave and his family peace and joy. In your name, Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for families who are grieving the loss of a child and young person. Draw near, O Lord, to the parents of the young people who died in the recent Nottingham killings. And most especially, we pray for any children suffering abuse in their homes. Please send the help they need to save them, Father. We ask for a change in the government. We pray for more social workers, more clear pathways within schools when things are suspected within a home. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Going to stand up and share the peace together. Please stand. The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." They were glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's turn and share a sign of peace with one another. Peace to you. Our communion hymn is "Thank You for Saving Me," and this plate is still here. And at the end of communion, if you've placed your slip of paper in there, I will carry that up to the holy table. Thank you for saving me. Great is the Lord. Please be seated for our communion prayer. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord, with your whole church throughout the world. We offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. There is nothing we can do to make the Lord love us more, nothing we can do to make the Lord love us less. Together we pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Our closing hymn, as we go out from here to serve the Lord, asking, may the mind of Christ live in me. Father, please accept these gifts as a token of our love for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please sit or kneel for the blessing. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Do join us for a cup of coffee, especially if you're new, so we can get to know you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.